Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Boy, if there was ever a need to break something down, let me tell you, it's quantitative easing. What in the world is that? Is that when a financial person eases back in their chair? I mean, what is quantitative easing? All right. Quantitative easing or accommodative monetary policy, or the more bluntly put, printing of money. Or wait, another one is expansion of our federal balance sheet. How's that? There's all these terms they use, which when you boil it down, what it really means is the Federal Reserve, one of its jobs is to control our monetary system, how much cash or how much money's out there in our system. And so what the Federal Reserve has been doing in an attempt to keep interest rates low, which is intended to spur economic growth and to encourage, by making the earnings or potential earnings or interest on very safe investments low, to encourage people to go into other things like the stock market or to borrow at low rates and start a business or whatever, keep finances cheap. That's the intent of this quantitative easing. But very conveniently, it also means that as the Federal Reserve is creating, they don't really print $80 billion a month, which is a current number that is being injected, amount of additional cash that is being injected into the U.S. dollar currency, $80 billion a month. So they don't print that money. It's a computer entry. And then what happens is the Federal Reserve is using that new money that is literally created out of thin air. We're out of a bunch of ones and zeros, right, Lisa? Okay, that's a computer lingo. So they create the money and then they buy U.S. debt, the debt that is being issued monthly by our federal government to fund the government. So isn't that interesting and convenient? So current 2013 estimated deficit for the federal government is around, let's just call it, around $900 billion. And I'm not a conspiracy guy, but it is kind of ironic that that's $900 billion that we are needing to borrow roughly and to fund the deficit, the excess of expenses over revenue, meaning tax dollars. That's $900 billion. And the Federal Reserve is printing $80 billion a month. You can do the math. That's $960 billion. I don't know if that's an accident or not. I think it's awfully convenient, though. So that's what's happening now. Projections of the budget, yes, okay, great. There's going to be less of a deficit if the budget that's been presented, that will certainly be modified, worked on, negotiated, all of that jazz that occurs in Washington. Whatever that ends up being will hopefully reduce the amount that needs to be borrowed. But if the president's budget is achieved, we will still increase, the government, those that we've elected to represent us, will increase the amount that we owe ourselves and the world, $5 trillion more dollars over the next 10 years. You can do the math. $5 trillion divided by 10 is $500 billion a year. So we will need to borrow $500 billion a year. You with me so far? All right. And that is an optimistic number because that assumes that the president and his friends in the House and Senate will be able to work this out. I hope they will. No more games of chicken with our car, please. Okay? So if they make all that work and they only have to borrow the entire GDP of Greece, actually more than that, it's about $300 billion, and we're going to be borrowing $500 billion every year for the next 10 years. And at the same time, the Federal Reserve at some point is going to stop printing or creating money to buy the debt, then you've got it. Where is that financing going to come from? Who is going to give us $500 billion, our government, each year? Well, it's not a trick question. Either the individual investors through direct purchase of treasury bonds and debt on treasurydirect.gov, or being able to buy it through a mutual fund, or it being corporations, or it being insurance companies. Insurance companies are big holders of debt, U.S. debt. And of course, the thing that riles us up, some more than others, is the purchase of that debt by foreign countries and sovereign wealth funds and the like. But somebody is going to need to buy it if the Federal Reserve stops buying it, because the Federal Reserve tapers off this quantitative easing thing they've been doing. because they think the economy is able to sustain itself enough. Enough jobs are being created to where it can stop doing this and it can allow the rates to go back up. Then the question, which is, this is where it impacts us, is, okay, great, we're not increasing the amount of dollars, which could, of course, decrease the value of the dollar. When you increase the supply, that could decrease the value, cause inflation. But if they do that, and we stop buying our own debt, again, $500 billion a year, the question is, who will buy that debt and at what price? In other words, how much interest will be demanded? Right now, what's being demanded is 2% for a 10-year Treasury bond. That's what that yield means. So that our government is able to borrow at 2% roughly. So if we needed to borrow $500 billion a year, at what interest rate will that be and who will buy it? Because right now we're buying it from ourselves with money that we're creating. I know this is heavy stuff. I'm going to take another quick break. I'll take a breath, listen to this important message, and we'll come right back and break it down a little further.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, so we're back. You weren't sure if you wanted me back on this subject, did you? I know this is heavy stuff, but I think the question that we need to be thinking through is, what will be the impact on the economy when the Federal Reserve tapers off this quantitative easing program? Now, I don't expect that to be tomorrow. It's going to be when the unemployment numbers get low enough, they feel like the economy's built enough strength to gain momentum and carry on. And part of what they're looking at is exactly what I'm going to describe to you. If they pull the rug, so to speak, of quantitative easing, if they pull out their buying, then there will be a little bit of a hole that will have to be filled. And what I'm getting at is the investor, be it foreign, be it a mutual fund, be it a big pension fund, be it an individual, whoever it would be, they're going to want more than 2% interest to buy that treasury bond. That's what I'm getting at. If 10-year treasuries are a 2% yield, the investor is going to demand, in other words, the investor is not going to put the, let's say we got a mutual fund that's got, you know, billions of dollars in it. Okay. Some of the, for example, Vanguard's got a couple of mutual funds that have several billion dollars in them. Let's say that the guy running that mutual fund or the investment team is going to say, let's buy some U.S. treasuries. Okay. That sounds good. They may only be willing to do that at a certain interest rate. And I would bet and argue or put forth to you that that'll be at a higher rate. So what's going to happen? Because they won't say, well, they'll say, well, look, we're not going to do it at 2%. We'll do it at 4 or 5. And it wasn't that long ago. We just have to go back a few years, back before all of the craziness and the 2008-2009 market swoon, the dropping all the way down to 6,500 points on the Dow in March of 2009. Before that, we had treasury yields that were over 4, and they got down into 3s, and then we got down into 2, and we got all the way down to like 1.4 or so percent. So my point is that the rate that will be demanded for money to come from China, Japan, Britain, from mutual funds, from insurance companies will be higher than that 2%. And what that means to us is that when treasury yields go up, that affects everything. So let me give you an example. And there are a number of examples. The first is those really, really, really low interest rates now on mortgages you can get. Guess what they're tied to? If you can go get a 15 or a 30-year mortgage at a bargain rate of, you know, 3, 3.5, whatever that is, guess what that rate is based on? Not a trick question. It's based on the 10-year treasuries, what the yield is. Generally, it's you can do the math. If the mortgage you can get is around 3.5 and a 10-year treasury is 2%, then you're seeing about a 1.5% spread, which is what the bank or the lending institution is demanding for the perceived risk. That's the return over what they could get by just putting the money by buying a treasury. That 1.5% that they are wanting over the treasury yield is what they want for the risk they're taking to loan the money to you to buy your house. It's that simple. So let's change it. The Fed stops buying, and now we've got $500 billion a year that somebody needs to buy, and the yield goes up because in order to induce people to buy, it goes to 4. What's going to happen to mortgages? Mortgage will go up. So let's say that a treasury is 4%. Well, if the same 1.5 spread were to stay in place, then that same 15 or 30, whatever it is, mortgage that was going to cost 3.5% now costs 5.5. All right, stay with me. What does that do to the housing market? It could dampen the housing market. That's obviously why the Fed is being so careful about when they start to shut off the spigot of buying the treasury bonds and allow the rates to start to come back up, because they're artificially suppressed by the Federal Reserve's action. What happens when interest rates go up besides dampening the desire for homes? Well, part of what happens is that the same monthly payment buys less home. Because let's say if you've got 3.5% versus 5.5%, and somebody can afford an $800 a month mortgage payment, it's not tricky, it's just math, that might allow them to buy a less of a value of a home, which means there's less demand for the higher priced homes. So you can see it can have an impact on the real estate market. And then when the real estate market doesn't do well, we all have seen the impact of that. It affects everything else. Equity's locked in. Businesses that are dependent or related to their housing market are affected. Real estate, brokerage, moving vans, furniture, all of those things. So it has a big impact. And it also doesn't just affect mortgages. It affects what people demand to buy debt or to loan money to corporations. See, it's always compared to the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. What an investor is willing to do to give money to somebody and then get it back later, which is a loan, which is all these forms of debt, which are bonds, if they could lend to the government and get 2%, which is perceived to be or thought to be one of the lowest risk investments on the planet, which is why it only is earning 2%, versus lending it to a corporation that may or may not pay them back with the same likelihood or certainty as the U.S. government, they're going to demand more interest from the corporation. Corporation wants that money to borrow and build and grow the business, build a factory, expand their workforce, hire people, invest in infrastructure, all of those things that they would do to grow their business that involve stimulating the economy as well. So it, just like with mortgages, if treasury yields go from 2 to 4, and if the bond, the corporate bond was going to be 4%, now goes to 6%, that 6% is more interest that's going to come out of the corporation's profit, reducing what's available for salaries, reducing what's available for return to shareholders. You see how it ripples through the economy? So there is a significant impact of the end of quantitative easing. So now I'm going to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the things you can do to deal with this and protect yourself. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And I'm back with this heavy-duty subject of quantitative easing. All right, so I talked about some of the implications of a rising interest rate environment because of the Federal Reserve ending at some point its bond-buying program by printing, creating money to buy those bonds, $500 billion a year that somebody will need to buy, that the Federal Reserve is buying now. That's the projected annual deficit for the next 10 years, if everybody's able to work things out in Washington. And we talked about the impact on housing vis-a-vis mortgages and also on corporations with having to pay. It's not an accident. All the corporations ran out there and called any bonds they could and refinanced at very low rates, because as treasury yields went down, the cost of borrowing for corporations went down. Go out and try to find a high yield bond right now, or find a good quality bond. What kind of rate are you going to get? It's going to be pretty low. So The stock market, of course, is also affected by the yield, because you buy a stock, you want a return on your money. Well, guess what? It's always compared to the yield on treasuries. So the stock market could also drop in value if they try to pull the plug, so to speak, on quantitative easing and rates go up too quickly too soon. Now, what do you do about all this? Well, it's not really a tricky thing. We have to pay attention. We watch how the markets respond to the quantitative easing ending at some point. Now, my expectation, and this is my professional guess, is that the Federal Reserve is not going to go cold turkey. They're not going to stop, go from $80 billion to zero in a month. It'll be a taper. They might start cutting it back. They're already giving us a turn signal that they've got turned on a few miles before the exit. And I think what they're saying is, when we see unemployment get down in that 6 range, between 6.5 or so, and it's still much higher than that, it gets down there, they'll start easing off, maybe start talking about it more. They'll talk a lot about it, I think, before they actually do it. So it's not a surprise, because when the market's surprised, bad things usually happen. And they'll probably start whittling it down, say, okay, we're going to reduce it from $80 billion down to 70, then $60 billion, then $50 billion, then $40 billion, so on and so forth. And after they've gotten it all the way down to zero, then they may do some other things they need to do as it relates to the discount rate, which we'll probably need to talk about on another show. But as they're doing that, we'll have to watch some markets. Now, how do you protect yourself? Well, obviously, you look at the things that would be affected. Bonds and stocks. Well, that's investing, David. You got it. That's exactly right. So bonds, we're going to have to watch them and be careful with having too long of a bond. The longer the bond, the more it could be affected by what we just described. A very short-term bond or bond fund would be less reduced in price than a very long-term bond. And you probably don't want to be loaded to the gills all in stocks if this happens. So you want to be careful, and you want to make sure that you have a plan and you've got yourself very well diversified. When I say that, that doesn't mean having 3 stocks and 3 bonds. So watch that and be mindful of it. Look at some of the things that we talk about on the program. Look at having cash and money market. You say, well, is this going to be a time for gold? Well, I think that gold, the big buy on gold had to do with more of a crisis. As people become more and more confident about our economy, and I know there's always the risk of a double dip. And if they don't do the quantitative easing right, if the Federal Reserve messes that up, then we certainly could see a pullback in the housing or pullback in some part of the economy, which is why they're going to be, I think, going to be very careful. I don't think they're dumb guys at the Federal Reserve, dumb guys and gals, the men and women that are up there. We might disagree with some of the things they've done. I get that retirees and folks that own CDs have been literally crushed by a very low interest rate environment. I get that. But I think they are trying to do what's best for the country. And I hope they're smarter than sometimes we think they are. And I will get to that other point real quick, the discount rate. The discount rate and the whole thing about yield on treasuries are two different things. The discount rate is the rate at which banks borrow short-term funds from the Federal Reserve. And that's right now sitting at about 0.25%. That rate is what banks are, if the discount rate's around 0.25%, that puts the prime lending rate usually about 3% over that, and that puts it at 3.25. So 3.25 is what banks will lend out at prime, and you either can borrow at prime, maybe one less than prime, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 over prime, depending on the nature of the loan. And then, of course, whatever they get loaning money out, say it's at prime at 3.25, the bank, where do they get that money from? They get it from the CD holders. They get it from the people that buy CDs, and they get it from the money that from the people that give money to the bank, which is the certificate of deposit buyer, who is going to get for a 5-year CD in today's market 1%. So you see the challenge. So as we watch this, we're going to have to monitor the discount rates and what those CD rates are. But I do not think that those rates are going to jump up quickly. CD rates are going to be disconnected from rising yields on treasuries. So do not expect when the Federal Reserve starts to taper off the quantitative easing, your interest rates all of a sudden to go back to 5% for a CD. I think those rates are going to be very low for a long time. Look at all the other alternatives for your safe money. All right. Lisa says we're out of time. Then we're out of time. Be sure to tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.